As we were singing that song, I got to thinking about the freedom that we have as Christians. And I got to thinking, do you remember when you knew what to do and you knew to do it right, but you were doing it wrong, and the heaviness that you felt? Isn't it great to know that today you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we can have that freedom that God wants us to have? Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk about today about how the anchor holds. In Romans 15:4, it says, "For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." That we might have hope. We know that in the old Scriptures that they are important to us for our Christian, for our spiritual life. For us Christians, it's very important. I know some people want to do away with the Old Testament, but when you really get into the studying of it, you thank God for it. Hallelujah. The wisdom and moral laws of God concerning every aspect of life. When we struggle, our anchor preserves us until the answer comes. Wait patiently for the Word of God to work. We may want it now, but faith is the evidence of things not seen. Hope reminds us that we are still anchored. Don't pull up the anchor to see if it's working. If the rope is tight, it's evident that the anchor is still holding. We are still hooked to the rock of our salvation, and He will bring us through. Why do we need an anchor? I want to tell you why. Because if so, you don't want to be shipwrecked. Hallelujah. To keep you from drifting. To keep you from a constant drifting away from God. If you throw out the anchor but don't secure the line. Hallelujah. It won't do you any good. Not obeying God's word is like turning loose of the rope. You stay on track if you stay connected. Excuse me for my voice. Even when life hurts and dreams seem lost, the anchor still holds. Yes, and it'll hold you firm until it tells you that the dream is still there. If anything is strong in our lives, it should be our anchor, Jesus Christ. When the winds of the chain and the adversity and the howling, we need something to hold on to, not just any doctrine that floats around. God's word is a rock that will not be washed away by the storm. And when we are overworked and exhausted, the anchor of hope gives us fresh energy. And when we are discouraged, hope lifts our spirits. And when we are tempted to quit, the anchor of hope keeps us going. When we lose our way and confusion blurs and destination, hope will remove panic. When fear grips us and says it's all over, hope reminds us that we are still anchored to the rock. Hallelujah. The rock is solid. It's not going to fall to pieces. Just because we are, the rock is solid. Listen to these verses. In 2 Timothy 3:16, and we all know these, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and righteousness. In Matthew 5:17, it says, "Think not that I have come to destroy the law or prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." The anchor holds.
Yes.
The anchor holds. The word of God will hold. He will hold us through all that is going on all around us. Though the ship is battered, the anchor holds.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you for this day.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
God, we give you all the glory and all the praise.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you, God, that we can hold on to you, and God, that you are our hope today. God, I thank you for the congregation, for the people that are here today, Lord. I pray, Almighty God, that you open up ears, Lord. Let the hearts be filled with your joy today, Lord God. Have your way in our service today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Lord,
amen,
yes.
And amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I'm not rushing you, Brother Bill. So why did you? Yes. Amen. God is so good to us. And yes, in spite of ourselves. In spite of ourselves. Because you're going to fail. You're going to falter. You're going to come short. But I'm so glad we got Jesus. Bless you. Who's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I'm glad there's one other person in this room that is thankful that Jesus and that little hand clap of praise. He is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Another portion of Scripture describes him as the great I am. And another portion of Scripture describes our relationship with Jesus. And it says that you, that I, put your name in there, George, Ralph, guess what? You're a joint heir with Christ. You and him are definitely a majority. Me and him is a majority. But you know, there's been times where so often that we try to fight the battles ourselves in our own earthly wisdom, as we call it, and it falls short. But I believe that we have a group of people here that are in our services, but also joining us live through the Facebook and watching, and whether it's in this state, in this country, another state or another country, God's on the move there. Because through the internet, we make that connection. And the Bible says where two or three agree on any one thing. It doesn't say in the same sanctuary. It doesn't say in the same building. It says where two or three agree on any one thing, that it shall be done. Period. End of story. Why? Because of what we've all been singing today. I just get amazed some oftentimes when I stand over as I worship and I begin to read what I put on the walls above you. And they're up there as a covering over us. Do any of you believe in miracles? I sure hope so. Because you're looking at one. And every morning when you look in the mirror, you're looking at another one. And when you get ready to go to bed and you look at yourself in the mirror before you go to bed, it's another miracle that you made it through another day. Because the experience of God's grace. We know we believe in miracles, and we know that He hears our prayer. And thank God we are forgiven, so we're to give thanks. But a lot of times standing on that side, I don't get a chance to look at this side too often. But I remember the stuff that's up there. I mean, that's the greatest miracle ever, is to experience God's amazing grace that saved a wretch like me, like you. And what is it? What have you been singing today? What did Sister Karen talk to you about? Faith, hope, and love. I mean, we sang it. Thank God that there's power in the name of Jesus, but I thank God that He sent His Son to pay that ultimate price for us. What greater love than there is than a man to lay his life down? We call them heroes. I call him friend. I call him friend. And you can too. Yes, he's a hero, but he's my friend. He's my big brother. Amen? Faith, hope, and love is what binds us together. What binds you together with the Lord. But great is thy faithfulness. Again, earlier I said there's three great words in the Word of God. God is faithful. Thank God He honors His Word. And the last thing is love never fails. Not earthly love, but heavenly love. I know you mothers, more than fathers, have experienced some of the love for your children, like our Heavenly Father gives to us. But it's to the umpteenth degree when you start talking about God's love. Amen? Well, that's a freebie for today. You ready for the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And today's message is entitled Another Level of Experience. Our 2020 theme for the year is 2020 Vision. The 2020 vision means that we're going to catch the vision. That means you got to grab a hold of it. And I believe that we're at that point that the majority of us are really spiritually grabbing a hold of it, because you can get it up here, but until God gets it into your spirit, man, until God does the work inside of you, we're still struggling. We're still doing too much on our own. We need to learn that God has a new level for each phase of our life. When we experience that level, God's already getting ready for the next level for you. We don't ever stop growing. Maturing, I should say. But when you understand that God and you commune together, that's exactly how He created the Garden of Eden. In perfection, God met with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, until sin came into the picture. And now we have to put up with it. We have to struggle with it. But it's really not too bad when you understand that when we take care of a spiritual aspect of our life, God takes care of everything else in our life.
Amen.
When you surrender your pocketbook to Him, He'll take care of your bills. When you surrender your own personal desires and wants in your life, then you'll become exactly what God wants you to become. And yes, He can take those storms, those trials, those troubles to get us to focus more on Him spiritually. And I know the majority of our battles aren't spiritually speaking, as far as day by day by day by day. It's that physical battle. And God said, put on the whole armor of God. So why? So that you can defend yourself and get rid of, stop the tricks that the enemy plays. The wiles of the enemy is what it calls. And those wiles are the things that he uses to get at you. And yes, most of them are relationships. Most of them are physical, mental, things like that that he uses to try and pull us down, to drag us down. And that's where it becomes crucial for you as a born-again believer, as a Christian, that you pray more, that you seek God's face more, that you experience that new level in your life. It's not so we can see how many levels. You know, what was the Mario Brothers? I see that must be coming back. There's a big commercial on TV that deals with Mario Brothers was one of the games many, many years ago. The game? Atari? Nintendo. That was the one with the Mario Brothers. But Atari was, I think, first. But led up to that. But it's now coming back. And they're in there trying to encourage and entice you that there's many levels that you can get to. But did you know that in the family of God, there's levels that you can get to? And I'm not preaching heresy, don't get me wrong. We're going to read today that yes, you can, and yes, He will. If you surrender, if you give over. Now, the title on my message is what? another level of experience. Another level of experience. I used to blow my dad away. And I don't mean that literally. He was amazed. Now you got to remember my father. He was pretty set in his way. He was that fundamental, you know, old timer, old school. But he had to drive to work, and he worked so much that he never touched a wrench to fix his car. He bought a new car every 3 years so that he knew that he would get back and forth to work without any trouble. In the house, they'd always pay it's my mom's cousin, Davy, to come and do things, fix things, that kind of thing. So when I became 16 and started driving, guess what I did? I made the stupid mistake the first time changing brakes to take both sides off. Have I ever done that again? Uh-uh. You always do one side at a time. Why? Because where'd this spring go? Well, I could go to the other side and look and see where it goes. Pretty simple. Experience is one thing that every one of us has been able to learn something from. And have you ever heard experience is the best teacher? No offense to our teacher in here. She says none taken. You just didn't hear her. But let's look at these scriptures. And I've used these scriptures several different times in several different ways. But today, another level of experience. The only thing that will help you out in life is experience. I know some of the things I didn't want to experience. But again, if you learn from it, you don't redo that same wonderful idea. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And these are words from the Apostle Paul. I, brethren, means the children of God, brethren. When I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all Paul wanted to know about. Why? Because it's all about that. It's all about him. It's not about us. He wants us to surrender and to give over into him. And we do that through Jesus' name. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Period. End of story. Enough said. But it is also because he paid that price. He sacrificially gave his life from the Gethsemane, Garden of Gethsemane, to the tomb until he was resurrected. Paid the ultimate price. Continue on. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. One thing that the Apostle Paul was transparent. So many today hide behind the face mask that they wear, where God knows what's behind it. He knows where you're at in the relationship with Him. Continue on, please. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive human or words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. But in demonstration in spirit and of power. That's an experience that Paul had, and that's the experience that he needed to share with the Corinthian people over their struggles, over their problems, over their issues. And boy, does Corinthians sound like America with what we deal with. He deals with this because that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Columbus and Washington won't get the job done, I'm sorry to say. Or wherever else you are looking, it won't happen. Why? Because God has got this. Man can do all they want to do. Turn over every stone, throw every rock, burn every branch. It doesn't matter what man does. What matters is what's in the power of God. That experience is available for each and every one of us today to experience that new level or another level. It's great to know that he's still working on me. And I see a lot that he's still working on. Amen. Put every one of us. Let's go. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Zippo, zilch. But we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There was nothing that they could have done anyhow. God's plan was to crucify his son. And it happened. Yes, Jesus Christ, as they taunted him, could have called legions of angels to rescue him. Could have done that. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he could have quit there. But what was his words? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Hallelujah. But as it is written, you ready for this? We've only experienced a minute little tidbit of what God has in store for the church, for the body of believers, for his sons, for his daughters, for his children. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Wow, is that simple. To those who love him. So what's the key to your success? What's the key to you stepping up your program in your life? We just need to love the Lord more. What's wrong with America? They no longer respect God. Many people. They no longer show love. And especially God's love for other humanity. They don't disagree with you. They want to get rid of you. But God says, here I am. Wait and see what I got in store for you. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard. What? Come on. Nor hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Love. Love. Simplest thing on earth to do. I mean, you got to work at hating someone or despising someone. And trust me, been there, done that. Amen? Amen. I'm not exempt because I'm a pastor. I probably got more targets on me than you do. You realize how many times people have had me for lunch? Sit around the dinner table and talk about the pastor, about the service, how this, that, or the other? I'm going to please God. I'm going to be obedient to what God wants to do. Amen. That's the only thing I know. And I can love on Him any way I want to. And I'm glad He don't reject it. Or I should say, doesn't reject it. Go to the next one. We'll get to the end. You ready for this? We're living in the last days. You need to open up the peepers. Not these eyeballs, but your spiritual eyeballs. To see things as God sees them. Why? Catch the vision. The only way that you can catch the vision is this verse of Scripture. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. The Spirit just isn't the third person just floating around doing whatever He wants to do. The third person is fulfilling what the life of Christ accomplished in the body of believers today. When we struggle, the Holy Ghost is there, the power is there to accomplish. All we got to do is love Him. Ding, ding, ding. All we got to do is love Him. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. You know, one of the biggest excuses that's going to be thrown out of heaven is, well, God, I just didn't understand. That's no excuses, right? The deep things of God. I don't understand God's amazing grace. I've experienced it. And each day I learn and grow of God's amazing grace because He continues to give me His grace. Amen. It's not a one-shot deal. And that's like the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Isn't just for that spot at the altar where you begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave you the utterance to you. It's there for each and every day. We worship in tongues. We pray in tongues. We just love in tongues. We do this in tongues. And you know the great thing, if you want to know and understand what you just spoke, all you got to do is ask Him. And He'll tell you exactly what you just prayed, that you praised. It might sound gibberish to you, but it's power in your spirit, man. It's that experience that God wants to have with His children. That one-on-one, that face-to-face. And giving you the deep things of God. It's not, you don't, I won't say that. Because I believe God has got us to a point. We're right there at the edge. And that's why it's more crucial than ever before that you're obedient. You, me, you can love God just as good as I can. And all He wants is that love to be from the heart, not some phony, wishy-washy. Verse 11. Better keep going. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Jesus, time and time again, said, I don't do anything unless I hear the Father. We kind of got that backwards many a times. We start something and then ask God to bless it. Well, why don't you tell us, then we'll go ahead and do it. And then we'll know we have your blessing. We don't pray for blessings because you've already blessed it by telling us what to do and how to do it. Amen. That was a freebie too. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually. You've heard me already time and time again share with you that you take care of spiritual man inside you, God will take care of the natural. And again, we're getting it. We're catching that. But the key to that catching the vision, catching on to what God is trying to do and accomplish, is that next step. We need to focus on it. We need to continually focus on what God is trying to do in these last days. It's not about Thanksgiving. It's not about Christmas. What it's about is living our lives for the Lord to the fullest extent. And that comes through experience. You know, when I got the call to preach, and my bless the Methodist people in my family on both sides. Their first question when they found out I was going to be a preacher, well, where do you plan on going to school at? School of Hard Knocks, maybe? It's not in an education. Like I said at the beginning of the service, if God can use a donkey to motivate, to move someone in a certain direction, why can't he use us? It's not what degrees are on the wall. I can take you in my office and show you three separate degrees. I've got other things for school, being a superintendent of a school. What else? Oh, the MIP program, Ministerial Internship Program. I've got a certificate that I went through that. I've got certain laity certificates that I could show you. But that don't mean nothing. What means something is our experience level. Your experience level. Because if I fail to motivate you spiritually, I failed as your shepherd, as your pastor. Every one of you. Why? Because God wants to do something great. I can pick on Rob. I've known him for years. I don't even remember if I've ever asked what background he might have as far as church-wise, but that don't matter. I know he's watching. Man, before he got saved, you could tell God was all over him. Am I right? But he was stubborn. Especially like Linda. But I know he's got lots of questions about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you've sat down and talked with him about it. And what is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Why do we raise our hands when we worship? Why do we do this? Why do we do that? Those are the experience levels that I'm talking about. When you experience it, guess what? The enemy, your family, nothing is going to come in and take that experience away from you. Why? Because you experienced it personally. I mean, my Methodist background, if you do any looking at the United Methodist, oh Lord, their names just left me, the Wesley brothers. If you do any research and study and looking into the Wesley brothers And the movement as it began, they were in the hills of Tennessee and Kentucky where the power of God, the Church of God, got its starting, the first Pentecostal denomination in the country. And you can see that they were already right there. But then something happened. They didn't go the next level. How many people do we know that have turned their backs on God? Why? Because we failed to take them to the next level, to encourage, to love them, to show them. Let them experience it, and then they can't. Because that'll always be in the back of their brain. Amen? Always. And when we understand that the Holy Ghost is there to endue us with the power from on high, we have that direct connection that Jesus had. Amen? He said he wouldn't leave us comfortless, alone. Our hope is in him. We not only need to catch the vision, focus on the vision, but we need to also what? Act upon the vision. Action speaks louder than words. I can tell you how to do something, but let me show you. You know, they use the fish. You know, we can feed a person one time, but if you teach them to fish, then you've taken care of them for a lifetime. Trish is back there saying the big one. That sounds like a whopper. I think the fisherman altar's over here. You know, one of those, I caught a fish this long. You notice the little fingers? But that's neither here nor there. I'm excited about what the Lord's doing in the midst of his people. One thing that I want to kind of encourage and nudge you about is God is willing to allow his people the power to overcome all of life's obstacles, even if they're man-made things. God has got it. He is able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think according to the power that works within us. And how do we get the power to work within us? Love him. I got all choked up this morning. I was talking with Brother Paul while they started to practice. I always like bugging him. And he helped me out carry some things into the house yesterday. And our dogs. And he was trying to figure out this, that, or the other. And we got to the oldest one, Pebbles, which for, is she 14 or 15? She ain't that old. No, she ain't. Didn't Gabriel just turn 26? Well, anyhow, we had Pebbles. Pebbles' brother, Mick, had our oldest boy. And when they got moved around, we ended up with Willie. And a couple years ago, I don't even know how long that's been, three years ago, Willie died on us. And I was doing all right until I got to the point where Bo, he got pretty attached to Willie, which Bo is Mick's youngest son. And I was doing great until Bo came and saw Willie. And I mean, he just went to pieces. And guess what happened to me? I can be one of those that watch a sad movie and cry. I do have a heart, unlike some people say it. But I'm standing back there, I started tearing up again. Why? Because I miss the guy. I sat on the floor, I don't know how many times, while he was having seizures to try and calm him, to get him through. And I guess I got attached closer than I thought I did. But you know, that's what God wants with you. He wants you to just get lost in Him. And the way we do that is say, God, I know you take me as I am. So here I am. I can love you. I can love you in my way that I can. I can't love you like so-and-so can. But I can love you the way I can. And you know that's all God wants. Did you catch that last, well, really it's my opening of my introduction. God is willing to allow His people the power to overcome all of life's obstacles. Now, if you go back to a few months, I wrote down as God gave it to me, you can allow the whatevers of life to overcome you, or you can overcome the whatevers of life to receive your victory. God's not looking for a position to stick you in. He's just looking for your love, your adoration. America better learn quick, or there's going to be a lot raptured out of here. And I don't want to be around when the tribulation period kicks into high gear. That's a different message, though. Listen to this. Paul talked to the church at Corinth about the power of God being demonstrated in his life and ministry. That's why he was able to say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Can you say the same? It doesn't matter what your background is, your teachings, your degrees. All you got to do is show people that you love the Lord. And how do we do that? First and foremost, loving your enemies. As they're called today, your frenemies. Oops, should I say that on Facebook? We'll be banned. We'll be blocked. But understand, it's easy. Love people. Share the love of Christ with them by being the example. Another level of experience. God wants to take us higher and higher and higher. Some of you might like to see the deeper and deeper and deeper, like the illustration in the Old Testament, the water flowing out from the altar. Ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, chest deep, doing the backstroke deep. Swimming. That's what God wants for His church. I want to leave you with this before we do anything else. There's three R's that I really want to focus in. We'll focus on the first one at least next week. And that is when God's people get receptive. When God's people get receptive, God gets results. When you grab a hold of that vision, when you focus on that vision, God's results is the third step when you act upon that vision. Vision of what? Vision of what you should be, how you should live, what actions you should take, what you have as a child of God, what you don't have as a child of God, what you need to stay away from as a child of God. Those are the things that I'm talking about. When you get receptive to what God wants for you, spiritually speaking, then we'll see results. We're beginning to see that. Results of what? Wait until you get into some of my scriptures that will be here next week. What's it say? Signs and wonders. Follow them that believe. We're going to see more miracles transpire and take place. We're going to see those magnificent miracles taking place. God's people getting off the chairs and getting into the kingdom work more and more. Because that's what it's about. It's not a social gathering. I know we don't have any high and mighty people. But our mayor or any of our council members are more than welcome every service. It doesn't matter to me. They can be a child of God just like you can be a child of God. If they're not, we'll still love them. We'll get them saved. We'll get them delivered. Like you fans from the state up north. Woohoo! 1 out of 5 ain't bad. You open the door. What are you telling her, Joe? Shut up. We'll work on that. Amen. When God's people get receptive, results take place. When God's people get reconditioned, results take place. There's been a lot of garbage taught in the name of the Lord. And we just got to get back to the basics. Not my opinion, not LPA's opinion. What the Word of God says. Amen. The third R is when God's people get responsive. I'm telling you, I'm going to hook the chairs up in different places with electrical wires, and I'm going to have a little switch. Did you ever think about doing that, brother? Be like the one preacher that said, he had a guy hanging on. He was bound and determined to stay seated. He wasn't going to give his $1,000 offering. But I want us, you, each one of us, it doesn't matter whether you're on the council, whether you're up here on the worship team, it doesn't matter whether you're back there running the media systems and stuff. It doesn't matter whether you're big into the brittle and helping and doing all the selling, which, side note, we need sellers. It put a relief on Brother Richard. Keep telling him, quit worrying about it. Now I don't have Judy saying it. Now I got Richard saying it. I don't know how much Judy says to Richard, but it's not where you're at. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, period. And I'm going to get all that I can get from God to live my life holy and out here on this life. And that should be your goal. Another level of experience. One title that I used when I used these scriptures I found going through some notes and stuff is experience the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Experiencing the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Bible says, anyone lack wisdom, let him ask. Bible says, you have not because you ask not. Well, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Are you going to pluck away? Hey, you. You going to pluck away? Oh. Short. We're getting ready for an all call. Amen. We have been and we will be. Experiencing the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And trust me, I haven't experienced the fullness. So if I know I haven't, and I'm willing, yeah, I have my moments. I'm stubborn too, brother. But I learned many, many years ago, it's better to be obedient than to be argumentative. I want you to bow your heads with me. And I know Brother Joe's were able to take to the prayer, but I want to start out with the altar service here. And you say, well, Pastor, why do you always have to call us forward? There went a lot of work into fixing up this area. A lot of prayers have been prayed over this altar. An altar is just a spot that's designated for where God has done miracles before, where God has done wonders and signs before. And what He did before, He can do again. He raised up Lazarus. Nothing is impossible. But I want us to work on loving. Not me. I know I'm everybody's favorite person. Even when I step on toes, I'm still loved. But I want us to focus our love and attention towards God. You that might have brothers or sisters, you know how it goes. You know, the firstborn is special. The middle child gets away with murder. And the youngest child gets away with everything else. But I'm sure that the mother's love is for each one the same. But when we're in worship in songs, and I know that God wants more out of our worship than we're giving. And it's the bottom line is just love. Are you going to love Him? Let's love Him together. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I want us, if you'll be willing to say, okay, Pastor, I'm going to come up and find a spot. We used to do this all the time in services, especially on Sunday nights. Sunday nights was a time that you really were able to work on your relationship, but since we don't do Sunday nights, we'll have to use Sunday mornings. It's up to you. Do you need to love a little bit more on the Lord than what you've been doing? Now's your opportunity. You can experience the victory in your life simply by loving on Him.